Perfect. Okay, so we will start with roll call. Ginny, you want to call roll?
Chair Doyle is absent. Freeman Cooper?
Here.
And Director Kevin Phillips?
I am here, thank you. So we have established a quorum. Consideration on resolution 22-4 authorizing remote teleconferencing and Zoom meetings of the DID board for the period of 30 days.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second. Okay, motion was seconded. Roll call, please.
Chair Doyle, absent. Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips?
Aye. Thank you. Looks like we have, I'm going to admit the 530. That's probably Matt. Matt, are you 330-0169?
Yep, that's me.
Okay, perfect. Oh. Just wanted to confirm. Thank you. We
yep.
just established the consideration on the resolution. You are now considered part of the meeting, so we will consider you as in the roll call as joining at 5:32. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Information only on the article from CSDA. Any information on that?
Oh, it just says that special districts are not yet subject to the open meetings that are, in-person meetings that some other entities are. Special districts are still under the original emergency authorization.
Perfect, thank you. And we'll continue to move under those as long as we possibly can. Okay, introduction of the guests. I don't see any guests online. Ginny, you don't have anybody in person?
I do not.
Okay, perfect. So we have public comment. I believe that we'll skip that because there is nobody here from the guests and no presentations. On to the consent item. One item that we will pull is 4.1 minutes. We'll just table those that there is no minutes prepared. But I'll take a motion on the remaining portion of the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt the remaining portion of the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Ginny, you want to take roll?
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips?
Aye. Passes 3-0, thank you. Okay, on to, we'll skip item 5, there is nothing pulled, and we'll go on to correspondence, item 6, starting with item 6.1, a letter from owner on Goodspeed.
Did everyone review the letter from Catherine Bailey at 9393 Goodspeed?
Yes, I did. And we made an investigation. Mike went over and took a look and checked that meter, make sure it's working properly. Is that correct?
Yes, it's working properly. There's no indication of flow or leak on their side.
There's no indication of a leak on their side?
Every meter that has like a little triangle on it, it's a flow indicator, and typically it'll spin if there's like a little tiny leak or water flowing, and it was perfectly still. I went out and checked multiple times too.
Okay, any other comments on that? So what is the suggested rectification of that?
Well, I mean, oh, go ahead.
You know, they've been doing construction over there, pouring concrete, doing stuff for the last few months, and it didn't look like that bill was huge. I have my inclination is that they probably used the water.
Okay, so just hold firm on the usage.
That's what I think.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
Do you remember, Kevin, the he and his wife came in. They had a dispute with their neighbor over in Holland. Remember, they came in and talked to us one time. He has really blonde hair.
God, I'm not recalling that one. No. Is that who it is?
Yeah. Sutton is his name. It's his last name. Doug Sutton.
Got it. Yeah, the last name sounds familiar, but I don't remember coming in on a dispute. But
yeah, they were feuding with the neighbor next door, and they were trying to get us involved because he had multiple people living there. They ended up putting a fence down.
Oh, got it.
But okay. I can't remember exactly what they wanted us to do, but they wanted us involved in their fight.
That's lovely. No, thanks. Okay, so that's just, I agree with holding firm on it, that there doesn't appear to be any malfunction of the meter and or extreme leak on their side, that it's just water being used.
Okay, so do you suggest I draft a letter to her saying that the directors considered the matter and
denied the request?
Respectfully denied her claim, basically.
Yep, I think that would be wonderful. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Did she actually make a claim, or did?
Well, she hasn't paid her bill.
Okay. Is it possible, Mike, that you know, her meter might have gotten misread one time or something?
No, I've checked their meter every month, obviously, and I went back. I checked multiple times, and there was a substantial jump. But then the following month, when after her claim, her meter reading was after. I mean, it's not like it was misread. Like, this was definitely, she had a pretty significant usage in 1 month. So. On our meter books, we have like a corresponding, a list basically of our monthly readings, and they would indicate, you know, water usage, just a little substantial 1 month, but the meter, you know, it reads what it reads. It's not going to just all of a sudden manifest flow or usage. It's a brand new meter as well. So. Yeah.
The only reason I mentioned is, one time, a long time ago, we did have an issue when the meters were being estimated, and they got estimated for several months in a row, and then somebody went and actually read them, and everybody had a kind of spike.
No, this one's accessible, and I can read it clearly every month. The faceplate isn't damaged or anything like that.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Okay, hearing none. 6.2, release of liability or the finalized reimbursement relating to the emergency claim or emergency repair for their damage.
Right. This is just, we've discussed this multiple times at previous board meetings. Right now I'm at the stage where I have the release form drafted up. I have not sent it to Mr. Lucena. I think I sent it to you, Kevin, but for just the all clear on the language itself, because I like.
Yeah, and it looked good to me.
It did? Okay, great. Yep. I will send that off.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, let's close that one out. Thank you very much.
Okay, so then I'll So do I put the check on next month's warrant, the payment on next month's warrant, or do I do a special?
No, just on next month's warrant is fine.
Okay, I'll let him know that and we'll do that. Thanks.
Yep, that sounds great. Thank you. Do you know what was the final claim on that?
About $438.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Any other questions on that? Okay, hearing none.
Thank you.
6.3, notice from Congressman LaMalfa on funding request. I have intimate knowledge on this one that the Congressman has the ability to earmark basically 10 projects within his area of service. the issue with these is they're looking for something that is pretty well it's well defined. So I think that it would be great for us to get something in there. I just don't know if we have something that's well-defined at this point in time that would rise to the level of one of his top 10 requests. So with that, I'll open it up to anybody's thoughts or comments.
Backup generator at site 3.
How much is that?
Probably about 50 grand.
Yeah, I think we need something between 500 and 2 million.
Oh, okay.
Because he only has 10 items or 10 requests. So I don't know if that would, you know, if you would put that in there knowing that you with the limit of 10 up to 20 million type of thing as a limit.
We'd have to repipe all of downtown.
That would be something we could ask for. I just think we need it probably well defined in there of what we're looking for and who it's going to benefit.
Does it need to be like those shovel ready jobs that they had a while back, or is this?
They like shovel ready, but you know, pipeline projects are shovel ready because they're exempt from CEQA. So maybe, it wouldn't be terrible to put a big pipeline project in there if we feel like it's, if we can define it pretty well.
Well, I mean, it would involve several efforts on the engineering side to put something together to have it ready to go. I would think, you know, it would be to have more ready to pick that request.
Do you think the backup generator, Kevin's just too low, too small dollar?
I think so. Yeah. Only because
on the community size.
But he only has 10 projects to earmark. I don't think he's going to earmark a $50,000 and take out one of his 10 projects that he can earmark.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think if Mark put together maybe a list and kept it between 500 and a million on that and submitted, even if it didn't get selected this year, it might be worth giving them the heads up that there's a need in Durham for Durham irrigation, that maybe that might be a good way to go about it, even if it's not totally tight. So maybe we can get Mark to put together a list of high priority projects that equals between 500 and a million, and then get those over to LaMalfa's office as submissions. We can throw the generator in that too.
Mm-hmm. What about, I mean, that's almost like digging it. We should throw on there, digging a new well. I mean, piping over to the other side of the tracks and annexing that and digging a new well. We talked about that with the annexation and for the build out of the Keeney property, but that's about the only thing that's going to get us any kind of big dollars that I don't know.
Well, we have some rough drawings for above ground storage at site 5 with booster pumps, tanks and booster pumps that North Star put together a long time ago, and we did kind of a draft site plan of that area, and that's eventually what we thought we'd want to do there at one point. You know, where we get caught up and ahead is.
Yeah, my suggestion on the one going across the tracks, if you put in there something that they feel like developer should pay for, it's probably not going to get there. If you can put in something that offers resiliency and any type of water savings, I think we might be able to get there.
That's a good point.
So, I like the water storage idea, if I could chime in here. I mean, I know it's, I don't know what you guys think about it, but I've been thinking about that for some time, honestly.
What size storage are we thinking on that? Do you remember, Raymond, size tank wise?
Probably like a couple hundred thousand gallons, I think.
How much?
Like a couple hundred thousand gallons.
So like 200,000?
Yeah.
So 200,000. Do you know what storage is going for anymore? Is it?
I have no idea.
Probably $3 a gallon.
Oh, I think at least, yeah. You know, by the time you get booster pumps and whatnot.
So maybe $5 a gallon. So that would fit perfectly. So $1 million for a storage tank.
Yeah. I mean, that would be something that would be easy to throw together, you know?
Yeah. I like it.
Have some preliminary drawings and, you know, Cal Water has just put in a couple of storage tanks and you can get an estimate for that.
Okay. Well, that's, if nothing else, it gets them on the radar that we have needs. And so, okay, well, that's, maybe we can get North Star to throw some together. It doesn't need to be real detailed on that. And just submit it so that they're, you know, God forbid, or not God forbid, but if we hit the lottery, we get it, and it would be great. And if not, at least we're on their radar that that we have needs in Durham.
So, Jeff, you want to maybe send Mark that letter from Lamont?
I will do that. In fact, I tried to reach him this morning, but I haven't heard back. So I will. I think he was going to be out of town for a while, so he may still be out of town. But I will call him first thing in the morning.
Okay. Perfect.
I just got a news update from CSDA. It's talking about when Congress will be going in to finalize earmarks. And the first earmark session will be June 13th through June 22nd, just so you guys have a kind of a timeline.
Perfect. Yeah, so Town of Paradise was able to get one last session, and it was for police radios. And it went through pretty smoothly. And I think the congressman got all 10 of his earmarks that he put in last year. So if they are selected, I think we have a pretty good chance of receiving them.
I noticed that one of Congressman LaMalfa's staff members is Terry DuBose.
That's correct.
Okay.
So Terry is now the new local individual, and then Laura Page, who used to be with Butte County, I think she's now in Arizona. She's also with them still. Also,
up to the Town of Paradise.
Yep, she did. Yep, and she worked for Butte County too.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Anything else on that one?
Is that Terry's new position, Kevin?
Yeah, Terry is the new local rep for LaMalfa's office.
Okay. All right. Yep. That's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. Yep.
Yeah, it'd be great if we chat with her to say, is this something that is even worth our time, you know, to put in.
Yeah, and she's pretty available. So if we wanted to jump on a call with her, she'd probably jump on it pretty quickly. We'd probably get Laura on the call also to see what their thoughts are.
Her email is in the agenda packet. For that item, 6.3.
Perfect. Okay, anything else on that one? Okay, direction has been given. And then letter from CSDA, call to action on opposition to... What is the... Is it a... shoot. What is the opposition to on this one, Jeannie?
I, as far as I can tell, it's just to limit or stop in its tracks proposed legislation to make it harder for districts to add new taxes or fees, yes, et cetera.
Is it assembly bill or a Senate bill? Do you remember?
A proposed initiative.
Oh, it's an initiative. Okay, yes. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I know that Cal Cities is also strongly against this one also, to limit the ability to have measures on the ballot and all kinds of stuff like that. So I support a letter opposing this initiative.
Okay, so a letter, not the requested resolution. That's what CSDA provided, was a whole draft resolution.
Okay, Do they
want us to sign something, Jeannie, or what's the?
They want.
What's the?
They are asking special districts to consider, vote on, and adopt a resolution.
Oh. Okay.
Opposing this initiative, and after it's adopted, then they want a copy of it so that they can add it to their advocacy package, like all the districts that are opposing this initiative.
Jeannie, did they send a proposed resolution?
Yeah, it's in the packet.
Good. Okay, thank you.
So, Jeff,
Kevin, you guys signed this one at Paradise?
We have not formally adopted this resolution, but we're going to the next council meeting. And all government organizations are within the same support. Right now, there is no there hasn't been action to have this on the ballot for this next year, and so we don't know if it's going to even have legs to get there. But it's kind of a preemptive strike at this point in time.
Kevin, it might be. Okay. It might be appropriate to have a motion to adopt the resolution proposed by CSDA, and then we can just complete it tomorrow and have it signed and can send it in.
I will look for a motion for that exact language.
I will make that motion with that exact language.
And I will second that motion with that language. Okay.
Hearing a first and a second. Jeannie, can you take roll call?
Chair Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Director Phillips?
Aye. Okay, passes 3-0. Thank you very much.
That will become resolution 2022-05.
And 2022-05.
Signature and distribute it along with 2022-04.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Letter from Camp and McLaughlin, rent increase effective May of 2022. Information only. And I know that we've talked about this before. Is there any further discussion on this item?
No, I just want folks to be aware that the date on that letter, the language on the letter said the rent increase was effective May 2022. So this month's rent check was for the ongoing amount, and then it won't go up to $650 until May. Just want people to be aware of that, because
yep,
Mr. McLaughlin might have thought that the increase is going to hit in April, and that's not what his letter said. So
so I just want to also say on this one, Jeannie did a good job, and Ed was talking to me about it. We went out and did that competitive analysis in the area. I think we're reluctant to bring us a letter, so finally brought a letter dated the right time, and so I think Gina did a good job of making sure we were covering our bases on that, so thank you
Gina. Thanks, and thanks Matt for all your work on that too, appreciate it.
No problem.
Okie dokie, on to 6.6, notice of delinquency. So notice form delinquency on EDD. Jeannie, you want to update us on this one?
Oh, it's an ongoing problem. Paychex, our payroll company, is attempting to pay the state certain, certain fees or taxes, and the state isn't prepared to accept them because of the way our ID number is set up. And I looked into it last year. I think the fix will be to, we will have to, the district will have to have a new ID number with all the proper categories checked off, so that when Paychex attempts to pay those taxes, the state can accept them.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions on that? Okay, hearing none. A letter from SDRMA on estimated 2022-2023 contributions. It appears that we're about $5,200 to $5,300. What was our prior year contribution? Do you remember?
It was about the same amount. Okay. It's not a big increase. It's not anything surprising.
Beautiful. Excellent. Okay. Any questions on that? And one thing. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just didn't have anything. Sorry.
Okay. One thing I'll just reiterate is, you know, for Jeannie's edification is, you know, don't be afraid to use them for all of their services they have. You know, we do pay $5,200 to $5,300 a year, and they do offer quite a bit of services out there. So I encourage you to continue to use them in whatever capacity you see is fit, because they are a good resource for us to continue to use.
What about on this EDD letter, Kevin?
Yeah, they probably want to handle that one. Yeah, that would be more internal. They would probably tell you to go get, you know, financial assistance on that one. But for liability or for risk management, those type of things, any type of workers comp, if Mike needs help on, you know, ergonomics or, you know, in the field, if they want to do a field visit, I would think they have services available for that type of stuff.
Okay.
And then training. I think the training, one thing I know that we're required to do is sexual harassment training and ethics training. They will definitely offer that. And then I don't know, they might even have some training for Mike on water operations and stuff like that. So just a resource to see if it's there. And a lot of times it's included in our fee. So try to use them as much as possible.
Yes.
Yeah, the Cal Chamber does a lot of that too.
Yep, absolutely. Okie dokie, on to item 6.8, Governor Drought announcement. Jeannie, do you want to update us on this one?
I put in the governor's press release. I noticed that the county has made a statement about limiting the drilling of new wells. And it doesn't look like there's any specific onus on special districts to enforce drought actions. But I've noticed in the news some other districts are enacting like watering days, like you can only water on every other day, that kind of thing. And I don't think we have obviously we don't have the capacity to enforce anything like that. But I just can't help but think it's prudent for us to at least take a more defined stance on what our customers can do to reduce their water usage, and or any language regarding the drought, like this is what our water situation is right now, et cetera.
So normally with these drought, emergency drought regulations, they define, this is normally, I don't know what this is going to be, an urban water versus a non-urban water provider. We've normally been outside of the urban water provider, and we continue, we still should be outside of that, because under urban water management, they require you to have a urban water management plan. And in there, they have drought requirements, that if drought is declared, that you have tiers you go through. I do believe it would be pertinent for us to put out some type of wise water use statement. I know that we did that in the past in the drought, just through our social media, just to show that we are taking it serious. And then I would assume that more regulations will come down as we get further into this drought. It's not going to get any better by any stretch. And I know one of the things that I've saw is that they're not allowing the transfer of water outside of your place of use. So that could be one of our restrictions that I'm seeing coming forward. But I think we kind of take it as it comes and look for those restrictions as they come down to see if they actually apply to us.
Okay.
Anything else on that, Raymond, Matt?
Sounds good.
Okay. Jeff, do you have any more information on that?
Yeah, I think that is mainly what my other districts are doing too. They've taken account. The executive order that is behind this is number N as in no, capital N-7-22. I can circulate a copy of this to everybody by email. And you kind of look at it from the statewide view. And so you can see that what districts are doing are trying to meet what they can in cutting back on water usage that's embodied in this. But you can't transfer water outside of the area. Hauling is limited. Tremendous restrictions. So I'll circulate this to everybody first thing in the morning.
Perfect. Thank you. And if anything else pops up on that you're seeing through your other districts, yeah, if you could forward that on to us so that we
can get it to you,
that'd be great. Yep. Okay. Any other questions on that? Comments? Okay, hearing none. A letter from Butte County on the North Sacramento Valley Integrated Regional Water Management Board.
Just a heads up, they're looking for another member. So if any of you are qualified and interested.
All right, nominate Raymond Cooper. Thank you very much.
I second that.
Okay. Aye. Okay, perfect. Great.
Respectfully deny.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Anybody interested?
No.
This is ask. I am not.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, on to section 7, water operations business, ongoing business. I guess we'll turn this over to Mike.
Yep. Can everybody hear me? I got my headphones in.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. So for March, I met with North State to troubleshoot the motor at the library site. We had kind of discussed that at last month's board meeting, how that went. So I need to touch on that anymore. And then we finished up the tie-in for the bladder tanks at Holland site. So Holland site has 4 bladder tanks, and it's, you know, causing the pump to run a lot smoother. and then kind of just did like footwork for going over getting the alley site tank job kind of prepped, bled all the pressure off and isolated the site. Demoed a little bit. Let's see here. And then I had Durham Pump do 3 bladder tanks at library sites, and my North State get rid of they had an old style transducer there, a pressure transducer that was like the original one that Cal Water had put in. We got that out of there. We got it a newer one that functions a lot better. It's a lot more compact to go on the manifold. Let's see here. I did a couple. All right, I met with Trike Backflow to replace a failed backflow that had come up this year, and everything went fine on that. Some demand requests, and then that month, the backup generator didn't fire off. And after I investigated a little bit, I found that the batteries had exploded on it. So I got those taken out, kind of neutralized the battery acid with, I just found the white vinegar does it. So I did that. I cleaned it up, got some new batteries, and tested everything. Everything was fine on that. It fired off the first start and it's been running good. So there's that. And then I ran the natural gas engine at Hull and Site for just 15 minutes. Just to kind of, it hadn't been ran for a little bit. So want to make sure it's still running and functioning properly. The thing started up right away. The new block heater that we had, because the old one also exploded, we put a new one on that's actually a recirculating pump, because the last one was just like a heating element that just goes on one spot on the block. The new style, they don't do those anymore. The new style is a recirculating hot water heater pump, and I'll tell you, every time I start that engine, it just fires up right away. It used to take like two or three cranks to get it warmed up, to get like some of that heat up, like coolant, to allow the engine to fire off. It's night and day different. So that the engine's actually running better for that. And that's basically it for the operator log.
Do we have that engineer type 5 on a regular exercise schedule, or are you just kind of doing it when you feel like it?
It should be on a schedule. I'm trying to do it just quarterly, and I think it's just to stay within our limits for our air permit. I think we're allotted a certain amount of time for testing and maintenance. Right. And then engineering is, emergency, it's unlimited hours. So, it should be quarterly. I'm trying to get into that schedule. So I've actually been starting the generator at library site as well, just running it for a little bit, making sure everything's starting correctly.
Yeah. I just kind of, I'm a little bit worried about the new neighbors over on Site 5, and I'm wondering if we should, you know, make a point to run that generator a little bit, or not the generator, run that power unit to kind of establish that, yeah, we might need to run that, you know, at some point in time, or, you know, so they know that it's there.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
But they've definitely seen me run it, so.
Yeah, and when it runs, everybody knows, so. Yeah. I'm surprised
that
they weren't complaining already, but I think they need to know that, you know, that's a piece of equipment that we need to operate. And
I didn't do it at like an inconvenient time. I waited till it was like a reasonable time, obviously, to fire it up. I didn't go out there like first thing in the morning, but they've heard it run. They've been doing work out there. And I think that the property right across the street from where it's facing, they just closed escrow. So,
yeah,
and they were there, like moving their stuff in when I was running it. So I don't know if that could be any more clear that we're going to be running that occasionally.
Yeah, we need to, you know, exercise our right to run it so we don't lose that right. You know, kind of how I feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions on the operator report? Thank you, Mike. Okay, and on to the letter from Sierra Water on the two options for the Holland site.
So this is something that Raymond and I had discussed, because he had actually caught, he caught someone just hooking up to our one of our hydrants and filling up, and it turned out to be Public Works. They were in like a rented water truck or something like that. But I had this idea that I can't really control whether or not people steal water from the district, but I was hoping to maybe set up a station outside Holland site, that there's a hydrant right there, and put a backflow on it that would incentivize people maybe like ethical fees, if you will, to steal from a place that, or get water from a place that has a backflow device on it. It's kind of set up for that. I'm not like condoning anything like that, but I figured having a designated pumping station that's close to a pump, that would be a really safe bet to incentivize people if they just feel like they're going to take it upon themselves to take water, maybe do it there, just because the pump's so close. So for these people that are inexperienced in how, you know, hydraulics works and stuff like that, if they were to close it at a little bit faster rate than would be recommended, and even cause some sort of hammer, at least they would be doing it, you know, I don't know, maybe 300-400 feet away from where a pump is like receiving its signal, so it can like scale motor speed accordingly. So instead of like doing it in a remote part of town, have the pumps ramped up and they're just filling their water truck at full speed, and then they just close the hydrant, and we have a delay in feedback from where the motor's receiving its signal to ramp stuff down. I've noticed I can tell when people are pumping water. I actually went on site. I caught it on site one day. I left from library site. The pressure was 58 PSI. It's usually around 61 on the Holland side because there's a little bit of a pressure differential drop because we're out of slope. And when I got to Holland site, the pressure had dropped significantly. It was down to, I don't know, it was almost down to where the Holland site pump was about to wake up, and then the pressure shot way, way, way up to around 70 PSI, which it kind of made me nervous. I was like, great, I'm going to get a break. But what I think I was observing then was someone filling up a truck. They were just had significant flow going into their truck, and then they just closed it up real quick. So ultimately what I'm getting at with the backflow devices set up at that hydrant outside Holland is maybe having a designated pumping station. If we are going to allow people to get water from the district, that would be like our safe spot, and our, you know, our pipelines protected by a backflow device. So there's a metered one in there, and then there's an unmetered one.
I'll give you my personal opinion. Anybody that is hooking up to a hydrant in the district without permission is actually violating the law and mm-hmm. needs to be told that is the fact. There's so much, if you think of a terrorism attack associated with water contamination, hooking to a hydrant with a high powered or a high pressured system that could create a backflow situation is extremely likely if you were wanting to do that. No individual, mm-hmm. and hopefully Raymond on the public works side has informed their individuals that they should never be hooking up to a hydrant in our district without permission. So that's my first.
Yeah, I did. I gave them like one. What it was is I spotted a rental water truck hooked up to the hydrant, and I rolled up and jammed him up, and then I realized it was one of our county guys in the rental truck, and then I was like. You can't just go hooking up to any old meter anytime you want. You got to get a hold of Mike and let him know. And I think that kind of spurred this conversation that I had with Mike is we do allow on occasion a load here and there. We don't allow, you know, a continual draw for construction companies, you know, but if the county needs a load, or maybe there's a guy coming in that just needs one load to do whatever he needs, you know, we do allow that on a special case-by-case basis. And it would be nice to have a spot to for them to do that at, you know.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. But the other thing, too, is we need to be compensated for that. And and it's got to be locked. I mean, unless we're confident with somebody with their ability to handle a hydrant and making sure, I mean, Water Hammer can destroy basically our whole system at this point in time. It's a little fragile.
Exactly.
So somebody coming in and going full blast and then shutting that baby down is extremely dangerous to our system at this point. So I have no problem putting a meter in, and I think it's a great idea because I think that, well, unless the governor restricts us from transferring water outside of our place of use, there's going to be quite a few individuals around this county and outside in Glynn County that are going to need water. And I've already talked to one water hauler that is getting restrictions from Cal Water and from South Feather. Well, South Feather, I think he's able to do, but it's just such a far run for him that with gas prices, it doesn't make sense. So I think it's a great idea to put a meter in there to allow people to fill, but there needs to be compensation and there needs to be management of that meter. And at the end of the day, hopefully recouping the costs associated with putting this meter and backflow back on there. So I totally support that.
Do you think it's worth the extra money to actually put a meter in there? I mean, yes. I'm all about the backflow, but I was thinking, I mean, it's $2,500 extra dollars just for the meter backflow. You know, I mean, we could charge them based on the size of their truck or per load. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if we charge just our regular metered rate, I mean, it's like what, $5 for a load? I mean,
it's nothing. But I think
charge like a minimum $25 a load or something.
I'm good with that. That's fine with me. Yeah. However you guys want to do it, that's fine if you want to estimate based on the size of the truck. But that thing needs to be locked down for sure. I wouldn't give anybody that wants to go and fill there and be blunt about it, that if you're caught on a hydrant that you're not authorized to be on, that is it actually is a felony or a federal offense of stealing water. So, but
yeah.
You know, that needs to be very clear that is not going to be tolerated in our district.
Well, how about this? So if we do, because I totally agree with Raymond in terms of having a metered one, I don't think that that would pay for itself for quite some time. But what we could maybe do is have a placard outside the fence that has some sort of language on it that says, that has like all of our contact info, maybe my contact info, for people that do want to fill up and have it labeled as a designated pumping station for people wanting to get water.
I like it.
Oh, okay, good.
Yep.
I'll get on that.
So should we put a sign on it after it's installed? A sign for people, been, you know, water haulers or contractors driving by so they know? And that it says,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you don't, you know, if you getting water from our district and from any other source is a felony, something, you know, something that they can read and be informed about rather than you having to like explain to them or me finding who to send the letter, you know, a general form letter to.
Yeah.
I mean, we should put maybe a notice with a contact info or something, or, you know, a sign that this is the spot where we fill up. But I just don't, we're kind of walking a fine line. So I don't want to all of a sudden, you know, say, hey, we're open for business to fill water trucks. You know, I still don't think that's a good idea to have, you know, something going on there when we're going to have a water truck filling up every hour from our spot. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Unless Mike thinks there's no problem with that. But generally, our policy is we do not fill water trucks. And only on, you know, case by case, need one here or there type of thing, you know.
The only reason I brought it up is because I feel like we definitely should have a designated pumping station with backflow protection on it. And then I don't think that we should be selling water to everyone at all. I think we should definitely be protecting our water. But
yeah, because there's no benefit for us.
Exactly. Yeah. We're just putting wear and tear on our equipment and stuff like that. I just something that's designated, protected, and labeled as depumping station so that people understand that, you know, where to get water from, who to contact if they want to try and take the liberty on for filling up their water truck without our permission.
Well, let's just take that first step and let's just get the backflow in and the plumbing, you know, necessary for.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Any further discussion on that?
Nope.
Okay, perfect. Item 7.3, pressure tank project update. Any update on that?
I think we're on schedule. Both sites are completed. Haven't had any issues. This month, we got the tank out of there, got the pillars demoed. I met with them to get the final measurements and placement for the pad. And they're wanting to get the ball rolling on this within the next week. And then in terms of, because I asked John for an estimate just to give you guys like a ballpark or at least like a not to exceed. And he's just been busy, but I called him before this board meeting just say, hey, you know, I haven't got anything. I think the original price when we first started talking about this tank replacement was that you guys gave me a not to exceed 90K. I think that we're going to be coming in at a little bit over half of that with all three sites. Just on his side. So yeah.
Nice work. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions on that?
Nope.
Okay, hearing none. 7.4 library site well motor replacement.
So this was just regarding that we had discussed getting like a ballpark figure on what it would cost to just purchase a motor outright and have it on standby so that if the library pump or motor ever fails, we can just call North State out or any other reputable pump company and they can come pick up our motor and put it on. And that way we've locked in our price for the motor itself and we're just paying labors and miscellaneous materials. I got the most recent quote, because their estimates were 10 days when he gave me his figure, but on Friday he said the price out the door, there's a verbal quote, he gave me a text message, would be $62.82.33 for a new 50 horse motor for the library.
$6,282?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's reasonable.
My opinion is that is just as good as money in the bank, if not better, because we eventually are going to need it.
Yep, and I agree.
It isn't going to go bad in there. And
exactly. I don't know how they're going to, because I think that I'm going to try, I'm trying to figure out where to store it, because library site's kind of full. I think I could maybe clear out a spot in the Connex box and move some stuff around, but either way, I think the way that I'm going to do this, how it comes, if it doesn't come wrapped already, I'm going to probably wrap it in some sort of like saran wrap or something like that and just have it tucked away, wrapped tight so that, you know, nothing, no bugs or anything get in there. And then I think we'll be ready to go.
Sounds good.
Try and store it in a building and not a Connex box. I mean, I have a couple Connex boxes and they tend to condensate in the, I mean, you got to have some airflow through them. I mean, I've ruined stuff because things tend to rust in a Connex box. It's been my experience.
Okay. I'm sure we could tuck it back in the corner near the generator at library site easily. It'd fit easily. I just wasn't sure if you guys wanted it to run there. So that works.
Perfect. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay. Monthly work order status report through April 10th.
Those are just all the open work orders. I've been kind of chipping away at that list. Last month, I was kind of heavy on getting the pump side squared away. I didn't do as much for work orders, but I'm still, for most of the meter replacements, I'm still waiting on getting meters. I ordered them, and I actually called Ferguson just a little bit ago. I think it was like last week, just to get an update, and he said that he'll call us as soon as they come in. So,
perfect. That's that. And then last water meter sales through March. Any questions on that? Okay. Hearing none, we'll pass through that. Now on to general business, item 8.1.1, pressure tank replacement. I think we've already gotten an update on that. Bid package for Brown Favor Alley Main Replacement Project. Is that you, Mike, or is that North State?
No, that's Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna table that one. So Mark's not on here. And then obviously I will table capital improvement plan unless any of the directors have any comments on that.
Nope.
Okay. Project update on USBR grant led service lateral replacement project and timeline. Ginny, I think that you said that you're waiting for North State on that one.
My understanding is that North Star is in the lead on providing the required documents that USBR requested. Matt, do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think Mark took the action on that one. He said he'd have something back to us in May, if I remember correct.
Okay.
It's due to USBR on May 6th. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to kind of stay on him on this one, and I can reach out to him as well again. So we can't. I don't know if he's coming back from vacation. I think he was going to be gone, and then he was going to jump on this. He said when he got back.
Okay, so just make sure that we get a status update from him.
Matt, I've got a call into him today, so when I talk to him tomorrow, hopefully he'll be back. But whenever he gets back, I'll ask him about this too.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, sounds perfect. Good. Thanks.
And then all hell's breaking loose. Okay, I'm back. Okay, item 8.1.5 easement agreement between DID and DSUD.
I think Mark and I spoke after the last meeting, and he was going to work on the description of it for me. He said he had it clearly in mind. And so tomorrow when I do talk with him, I will follow up with him on that.
Okay. Just Mike, where you're still on the call here. We were taking a walk through the school yesterday, and out in front of the junior high gym, in between the junior high gym and the pool, there was a water can that was leaking pretty good out there, enough to puddle all the way down over to the mechanics bay or the bus barn area. So I'm not sure if we want to reach out to them, let them know they have a pretty gnarly leak going on out of that valve can or not. But there's okay. Quite a bit of water coming out.
I'll say that one more time. So is that, where was the location at?
It's between the junior high gym and the swimming pool.
Okay, junior high gym and swimming.
Yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
And it was this pretty steady leak coming out of there.
And I think that's theirs. Right.
It is theirs for sure, but it is our, they are in our water now, right? So I'm sure that's probably going to be a sizable increase in their water usage, especially during this time of year.
Okay, got it.
Okay, 8.2, onto policy, policy for sealed meters, 8.2.1.
I am on top of that. I sent you all today the policies of Council Bluffs, and how brief they were. So you should all have copies of them, but I thought, and I got some feedback from Matt. Thank you, Matt, I think they're very user-friendly policies. They run the gamut of everything that we do with, and then if I were to use that as a template and then get it to everybody here, We could customize it for our particular needs, and that should be a document that we change from time to time as necessary.
Yep, I like it.
And I like the way it was presented on their website. So the table of contents was the first page, and you could click on the table of contents, and that would take you right to that specific policy.
Yep. Yeah.
That's well beyond my pay scale, so I don't know how to do that. So, Jeannie, hopefully you will get us there.
That'll be our webmaster. Okay. Does that kind of cover all of the policy updates here, or do we need to go through each one of these policy updates?
I think it will cover most of those policy updates.
Okay. One thing on item 8.2.5 with the water service, I sent over to Mark my draft water service policy that I put together. There was a few items there that I needed his help with on kind of developing the appendix associated with those water policies. So that one I think is over in Mark's kind of lane.
Good.
And that would be more for the developers and for connections, initial connections to our service.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions on the policies and procedural manual status?
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, the only thing I had is we had the, so I think originally, Kevin, you brought in the one from Paradise, if I'm remembering correct. We had your whole manual or some snippets of it. I think there's a lot of good ideas. It's just sometimes just consolidating some of those things and getting them put together and actually getting in front of the board and just getting them approved and getting them put in our book. I think there's a ton of good ideas in that draft policy from that website. I think there's a lot of good options on getting them. We just got to start knocking them out.
Yeah. And the water service one is from PID for sure. And that's where I sent that. It's a little more technical than my pay grade. And so that's where I need Mark's assistance on some of that technical side of things. Yeah.
Is that a policy document at the office, Jeannie?
I have it. I think I have it in paper form. And also I have a Word version of it. I just want to mention that I work on the policy subcommittee for KZFR radio. The way we handle that so that we don't tie up the board is we have a subcommittee that is tasked just with developing policies. We discuss them, we hash them out, and then it gets presented as a near final policy draft to the board. So I want to suggest if any of the directors want to form a committee, a policy committee, I don't know if it's legal or not, but form a policy committee just so like I can crank out a Word version of the policy. Y'all look it over in committee and then agree to send that reviewed policy to the board.
Well, unfortunately, our committees are made up by us. It'd be nice to have committees.
I'll throw my hat in the ring on being the policy committee individual.
Jeannie.
Thank you.
Yep.
Jeannie, would you be able to send me that Word version of the policy?
I will hunt it down. It keeps slipping away from me, but I will find it.
I understand that.
And nail it down and send it to you. So send.
Thank you.
Word policy doc. Okay. And then before we get off of this section, sorry to backlog you guys, but on the backflow device, y'all approved the policy at a couple of meetings ago, but we came, and my understanding was that it's fully effective like in the future, in July of next year, all backflow devices will need to have been inspected either by us or by the owner. Okay, but between now and then, as Mike mentioned, we had one of our customers had a bad backflow device.
Yeah.
And we paid the bill of $1,100 to either replace it or upgrade it. So I want to know, is that something that the district wants to bear, or can we like request it from the owner?
Yes.
Or what?
Send the bill to the owner.
At this point,
I'll make a motion to send the bill to the owner. Great. Last name D A Y.
Okay. All right. Great. And then, yeah, I'm not sure about. I don't know where Durham Deli stands in terms of its backflow device, and it's in arrears on its accounts payable, which I guess part of that will be solved by the letter that Jeff drafted for me to send to accounts overdue accounts.
Jeannie, some of the receivables are in the 4-digit zone. And I wonder if perhaps a wake-up call from a lawyer on those 4-digit accounts receivable might be advisable.
I think on most of them, yes. On some of them, no, because I think some of them, like Tink is on our work order list because okay. They do not claim that bill. They refuse it. So I actually have not been sending it to them, as I've mentioned in prior board meeting. So I think that a letter from an attorney would not be appropriate in that circumstance until we understand what company is getting that water and using it.
What bill is that? I didn't.
Tink?
Yeah.
It is the service at 2361 Durham Dayton Highway. Cami had sort of gone into like sourcing out like who's meter that was. She does not believe it's her meter. She refuses to pay that bill.
Should we have an office meeting with them and clarify that? Have her, I mean, it came off her meter though, right?
She does not believe that meter serves her property.
Oh.
Well, so I don't have any information on how to untangle that.
I feel like this is the first time I've heard about this.
Yeah, which property is this?
2361 Durham Dayton Highway. The service address on the bill is 9336 Midway. It's account 243.
I'm confused again. The meters on Durham Dayton Highway and the owners on the Midway or vice versa.
The service address is on Midway, yes, and the billing address is on Durham Dayton Highway.
And who's the owner?
I'd have to look into my account receivable and see who it was. Let me just pull up that account and see what the comments were. Account 243.
Well, I could easily solve this if you give me an address. I could tell her if it supplies her property. I could just shut the water off and then we can draw some water on her side.
Well, Mike, that's your work order. That's your work order 171.
Okay.
And the... The, let's see here, Tink Inc., who was, I'd have to look into my phone messages. I did not, at the time I was dealing with that, I was not updating the Sequoia reference.
Okay, so do we want to table this until that work order is kind of completed and then move forward with whatever we need to on that specific item?
Okay.
And then on the Durham Deli, are you saying that their water service is in arrears also?
Their water service has been in arrears for months now under the Empire Club. But now they're the Durham Deli. I haven't received any notice of a.
They're two businesses. They're two. Yeah. They're two parcels. There's the Empire Club and the Durham Deli.
Okay. Well, I don't know that Durham Deli I mean, I don't have a customer named Durham Deli. So I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Well, was that building always, wasn't it just the Empire Club at one point?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. So it was owned by the Empire Club at the same location. They've now split the building, and now part of it is Durham Deli. The other portion is Empire Club. So if you need to help with correspondence on that, I think you have multiple board members who could help with that.
Okay. Yeah. I guess. I mean, if there's a new APN number, I don't have it.
I believe it's two separate parcels. I know it's two separate addresses.
Do you think it's served by one meter because it's always been the same?
Yeah.
Same business owner.
We have a very similar situation with the next door, where we have two parcels where the Needful Things guy just bought the end of the what Mike did is he set up two services. So they're having to pay for two services, but only water runs through one meter. So until they straighten out their plumbing in between those two parcels, his bill is going to be two meters usage out of 1 meter. And then when he splits it, then it's going to be gone. Isn't that correct, Mike?
Just to update on that, they are now, both of those are under separate meters. They connected, so we're good there. Okay. But yes, that was the original.
So I think that's the same thing we're going to have to do for the Empire Club and the Durham Deli.
Okay.
Because their plumbing, I think, is intertwined.
I'm sure it is. It is. It's off of one service connection for sure. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. So if that's two parcels, then it needs to have its own service.
So I think we need to work with the owner on that one to investigate.
Yep.
And get the owner to pay his bill.
And we need to let the owner and all the other delinquent accounts know that come June, it's going to the county. We can't miss that this year. We need to. Nope.
That's a good point, Raymond. I think we need to make sure that that is primed and ready. Jeff, do you know the deadline on making sure that notices go out to the owners?
Yes, July 31.
July 31. Okay, so we...
I will get that letter ready to go to our outstanding customers.
Yep, totally. Perfect. Okay, any other discussions on that?
Is our aging report in the agenda packet I'm flipping through here?
I didn't see it.
It's in the just before the warrant.
Okay,
that's the one. It's a 4.2 point something.
Oh, I did find it. 4.2.5.
On the back. Wait. I go 4.2.4.
Five.
Okay, there it is. And which one is the tink? The tink is?
It's 9336 Midway, right down in the middle, 86849.
Huh. Yeah, if they don't think that that's their... So the owner address must be the tink office, the Durham Dayton. And the 9336, that's got to be that mobile or the silos or something there, right?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a long run.
We need to figure that out. I mean, that shouldn't be hard to figure out.
Yeah, I agree.
And who is Billy Woodward?
He's a guy that has a lot of bills.
So I've actually talked to her, and I talked to her last year. She's willing to pay. What she's not willing to pay are the late fees. And it's sometimes things fall off my radar, and they don't get handled. And this is one of those. And every month I remember her, and then every month something else comes up for me to like finish. So it's partly me, but yeah, she's very agreeable, and I guess I just need to prioritize getting in touch with her before we send her a nasty letter, because she was very cooperative.
Those letters are coming in June, that if that's not paid in full by July, it's going to the county.
Yep. Just to make sure I'm not on this list. Okay, I'm good. Yep, I agree.
That's why I was checking. That's why I was
Oh, shoot. Okay. Any other questions on that? Okay, hearing none, on to 8.3 development projects. Any updates on the development projects?
None. Mark was going to check into those when we last spoke. We debriefed after the last meeting, and I haven't heard back from him, but I'll follow up with him when I do talk to him.
Okay, perfect. 8.4 Sierra Water Utility Contract Renewal. Raymond? You have information.
So Mike and I met, and we talked about doing a multi-year contract. And I think what we need to do is get Mike's existing contract over to you, Jeff.
Yes.
And massage the date and add his rate sheet for his employee, so that we know what to pay on next time for Mike and his helper. And then we talked about tying an increase to the CPI. So I think I might need a little help figuring out exactly what that is and how to figure that, you know.
I can help you with that.
Yeah, that's easily done. That's okay. Easily done.
Mike, feel free to chime in on.
And those rates were acceptable. The one I got, the sheet I got yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, do we expect this back at next board meeting?
Oh yes, if not sooner.
Okay. If Mike, we got it back sooner than that, would we be calling a special meeting?
Or if you give the nod, we can formally adopt it at the next meeting, but operate under the principles set forth in it.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Yeah, too. Okay, perfect. Okay, any other questions on that? Thanks, Raymond, for doing that work. Annual audit 2020, review status of audit activities.
The 2020 audit, I just talked to John Warren or emailed him, and he's just getting out from under the April 15th deadline, so he'll be ready, okay. be ready to get started on that.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Annual audit RFP status, Jeannie?
You gave me comments, Kevin, and I didn't update the document until just this week, so it's going to go out probably tomorrow. I finished Perfect. The updates. I'm going to let it sit. I'm going to read it over one more time, and then I will mail it to the two CPAs who sent us letters of interest, and then likely post it on the CSDA.
Perfect.
Posting. Forum.
Yep. I think that'll do just
so, and so the deadlines on that, I changed them. That's one more thing. They should be at 4:20. RFPs due back June 12th because it's going out too late, I think, to ask for RFPs back before next board meeting. And then selection at the next in the June board meeting, June 21st, and then contract execution no later than July 11th. Because,
okay.
And that's because July 4th weekend.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. Any questions on that? Update on memorandum to the board dated December 14th, 2022 or 2021 regarding 2553 Durham-Dayton Highway.
Just what it says there. They came in, they paid their almost $900 bill.
Beautiful. And
regular billings.
Excellent. Good job, Jeannie. Okay. We have the website page report and then options for general management for district, including but not limited to potential for general management replacement advertisement. Any update on that?
Just on the website thing, I just want to give folks a heads up a couple things. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I guess that would be mine, and we have not moved on that, so no update as of right now. Unless Jeannie has any update.
No, not on general manager. No, just not relating to website. I just want to let folks know that we're trying out a QR code on the window. I posted the agenda, but I also made a scannable QR code so folks can just aim their phones at the QR code and get to our agenda for each board meeting. So that's kind of cool. And the signage on the Dropbox has been finished. So Raymond has the old sign for posterity's sake, but the sign company finished up on the signs for the cash box. Looks really nice.
With regarding management, when Mark and I had our debrief on the last meeting, he had some thoughts on this and was going to look into it, of course. And so we should be hearing from him when he does get back in stateside.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Okay, updates from legal counsel not discussed on other agenda items. So closed session, obviously, but anything else outside of that?
Vina fee, part of this will be covered in closed session. The press right now is collecting a war chest to defend the Aqua Alliance lawsuit. We have completely used up the GSA has completely used up its legal fund with Valerie Kincaid. And we're looking at law expenses, eating up whatever's left over for the time being, but then there's going to be a discussion at the next meeting, the Vina GSA, and I think at the Board of Supervisors as well, as to a more equitable fee arrangement. Number one, not only between the entities, but also number two, about how to fund, because we all know that administration and legal expenses are going to be tremendous. So everything is kind of in a state of abeyance right now. From some quotes that I've seen, they're expecting that a $5,000 contribution by each district or county or entity would be enough to get us current in our legal fees. The thought too is that we still go on a 40-40-20 fee division between what our share of the fees are and what the county and the city would, excuse me for that, what the county and city would share. And I'm thinking that it's got to be even more equitable than that. You just can't guess. I think you have to look at, your connections. I think that would be one way of looking at it, or look at your acreage, your total acreage served. That would be one way of looking at it. We are, I've used this analogy, the flea on the back of the elephant on this thing. And you can imagine what a rate increase is going to be like, looking at the rate increases we did in the past just to deliver water, but now to not only deliver water, but to be involved in the Vina GSA, which is not going to go well with some of our residents. So right now I'm hearing the notion that we may be out called upon to make a $5,000 contribution on the lawsuit, but that's still fluid right now. And in closed session, I can talk a little bit more about that. And then after tomorrow night's Vina GSA board meeting, I will probably have a little more information to be able to report back on what they're looking at by member agency contributions.
Perfect.
My position is it's not equitable just assigning numbers without any rhyme or reason. We are a 500 connection entity with three wells. And our share of the Vina groundwater basin is not that big.
Nope.
There's probably a single farmer within a 5-mile radius of us that draws as much as we draw over a year and a month.
Yep, I agree. Yep, and we have measures to monitor our yes. Pull. So yes. Yeah, I think we're in a pretty good position for that.
So I'm holding firm on that.
Yep, I appreciate that. Any questions on that?
On the ballot measure, the primary election is June 7, and the general election is November 8. It looks like, if anything, we may be on the November 8. I spoke with the elections clerk, and she informed me that the elections department thinks that we are conducting our own election. And I said, no, we thought you were conducting the election. And so we, in order to have them do that, we have to formally request that they undertake the election. So I would suggest that you move to and approve that we request the elections department to assist in our election. Now, the caveat is the comparative cost of our doing it and the cost of the county doing it. If we could ride the coattails of the county and see how it's done, all I know is that it's going to have to be a written ballot sent to the landowners, and we have to compile the landowner list so that we can provide that to the county. And if it's going to be a mail ballot, it doesn't really matter when we do it. But so I'm in discussion with the elections clerk right now. I'm trying, likewise on this, as with everything else we're doing, is make certain that that if we can get a cheaper price on this by just riding the coattail of the general election. But on the other hand, maybe sending out something to our landowners, I think we know how that election result will go very quickly. And it's only landowners that are gonna vote. It's not residents of the district, it's just the landowners within the district.
I think that's probably the best way to go about it, just to make sure that we stay out of court if it ever got to that point. So I would suggest that we coattail the county, bring a resolution for them to assist us in that. And then is that part also, do we need to ask for the assistance for the general election of our directors at that point in time too, whoever might be up for election?
Probably, yes. Now, I don't think we've had any success yet. I haven't seen any success in talking about our districts, our divisions within our district.
We don't have divisions.
Oh, that's right. We did away. We only have one.
Yep. We're open.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. That was done in the late 90s.
Yep.
Yeah. No divisions. Okay, no, that'll make it much easier.
Yep.
With divisions, of course, you have to provide the survey of your divisions.
Yeah.
Which we don't have.
That's right. Thank God.
Good. Much better. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. That relieves me.
Good. Okay. Any other questions on those two items? Okay. Hearing none. On to the Vina GSA information. Items.
We had a special meeting
last week to discuss the lawsuit, and we've got another meeting tomorrow. I guess we're going to talk about the lawsuit again.
Yes.
So I do believe we did the annual report, and I think we're going to probably talk about that. That hasn't, I think that's been submitted, though, hasn't it?
Yes.
So then I think the only other thing that's on the agenda is the Director of Water Resources and Conservation is going to give us a an update for the water report for the year. So I keep report back on that.
Okie dokie, any other items on GSA?
Nope.
Perfect. Okay. Director comments, any director comments? Raymond?
No, thank you.
Matt?
Yeah, thanks for stepping in for me, Kevin. On the, I'm on the road this week down in College Station at Texas A&M looking at schools for my kiddo, so it's kind of exciting, but thanks for stepping in for me.
Go Aggies. Okay. And for me, Jeannie, just thanks again for all your work. We do appreciate all that you're doing for us. And it's a big lift, but we appreciate it. Okay. All right. We will now, hold on. Closed session items. We will have item 12.1, conference with legal counsel on litigation in matter of Aqua Alliance et al. V. Vina GSA et al. Also, consideration of employment agreement with Jeannie Terrazzo pursuant to government code 54957B1, title administrative assistant. And then we will resume back into closed session for any announcements that might come about. No public is online, so no public will have comments. And we will resume into closed session now. Jeannie, if you could stop the recording.
I will pause the recording.
Jeannie. Okay, perfect. On item 12.1, Jeff, do you wanna give us an announcement?
Well, yes. We discussed the employment agreement for our assistant administrator, and the consensus of the board, unanimous consensus was that I was to prepare and circulate tomorrow a draft employment agreement consistent with what our negotiations with the employee have been, and subject to the board members' individual review of that, Matt, the chair, is authorized to execute it on behalf of the district if it's acceptable to the employee.
Okay, and then on the Aqua Alliance?
Board in closed session heard from council on the status of the Aqua Alliance, and a report was given, no action taken.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Okay. And so with that, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, have a good one.
Be in touch with everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.